नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading today from Canto 8, Chapter 3, chapter entitled Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, text number 32 and 33. So we'll read text number 32. Sonta sarasya rubalena grihita arto. दृष्ट्वा गरुत्मति हरिं क उपात चक्रम् उत्सीप्य सम्भोजकरं गिरिं महाकृच्छ्रान् नारायण किल गुरो भगवान् नमस्ते। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Gajendra had been forcefully captured by the crocodile in the water and was feeling acute pain. But when he saw Narayan wielding his disc, was coming in the sky on the back of Garuda, he immediately took a lotus flower in his trunk and with great difficulty due to his painful condition, he uttered the following words. O my Lord, Narayan, Master of the Universe, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The king of the elephants was so eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead that when he saw the Lord coming in the sky, with great pain and in a feeble voice, he offered respect to the Lord. A devotee does not consider a dangerous position to be dangerous. For in such a dangerous position, he can fervently pray to the Lord in great ecstasy. Thus, a devotee regards danger as a good opportunity. Tattenukampam sushamikshamana. When a devotee is in great danger, he sees that danger to be the great mercy of the Lord because it is an opportunity to think of the Lord very sincerely and with undiverted attention. Tattenukampam sushamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam. Bhagavatam 10.14.8. He does not accuse the Supreme Personality of Godhead for having let his devotee fall into such a dangerous condition. Rather, he considers that dangerous condition to be due to his past misdeeds and takes it as an opportunity to pray to the Lord and offer thanks for having been given such an opportunity. When a devotee lives in this way, his salvation, his going home back to Godhead, is guaranteed. We can see this to be true from the example of Gajendra, who anxiously prayed to the Lord and thus received an immediate chance to return home back to Godhead. We'll also read text number 33. There's no purport. Just read the translation. Thereafter, seeing Gajendra in such an aggrieved position, the unborn Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, immediately got down from the back of Garuda by his causeless mercy and pulled the king of the elephants along with the crocodile out of the water. Then in the presence of all the demigods who were looking on, the Lord severed the crocodile's mouth from its body with his disc. In this way he saved Gajendra, the king of the elephants. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 3rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender. Gajendra had been forcefully captured by the crocodile in the water and was feeling acute pain. But when he saw that Narayan, wielding his disc, was coming in the sky on the back of Garuda, he immediately took a lotus flower in his trunk, and with great difficulty, due to his painful condition, he uttered the following words. O my Lord, Narayan, Master of the Universe, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So, seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. So, we are coming to the conclusion of this particular chapter. And we see over here, Gajendra, he views the Supreme Personality of Godhead coming on the back of Garuda in the sky. And practically Garuda, at the end of 1,000 years of fighting with this crocodile, had now become completely physically finished. He was in such a painful condition due to his fight with the crocodile that he was barely able to speak. And yet, as soon as he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was so much enlivened that immediately he lifted a lotus flower on his trunk and offered it to the Lord. So actually all of us are in this dangerous situation where we could be practically leaving our bodies at any time. It is just that we don't want to accept this fact. Although we may be hearing this philosophy for years together, still when it comes to our own personal lives, how many of us really think that we could actually be dying next minute? What to talk about next month or next year? In fact, we think that we are going to live forever. And the nature of this material world is that we somehow or the other try to arrange our material situation in such a way that we want to live forever. Right from the time we are born, our parents teach us that one day you have to be somebody known. You have to achieve something in life. You have to be a big man. You have to study. Otherwise, you know, your condition is precarious. And this is what we are told throughout our childhood. How do our parents motivate us to study? They keep telling us that if you don't study, my dear son, what will happen to you? I remember my father, when I was small, my father would invariably tell me that the only place where you are fit for is the kitchen of a restaurant, washing vessels. Because he would see that I was not really paying much attention to my studies, and he would say that, what hope do you have? You would not even be a waiter in the restaurant. You would just be washing vessels. You know? So this is considered to be one of the lowest professions that a person could possibly have. And that's how, you know, throughout our childhood, we have been told by our parents that, you know, come on. So whatever may be our academic abilities, we are goaded on by our parents to somehow or the other increase the quality, increase the level of our academic situation. And then later on, when we take a job, you know, your boss, your wife, your parents, they keep telling you, now that you have a job, you have to get a promotion, right? You're a big man in your company. And then after you become a big man in your company, somehow or the other, with great endeavor, then your parents tell you, no, this company is too small for you. You have to be a big man in a big company. Right? And like this, your whole life passes. And before you realize it, you are 60 years. And although you're a big man in a big company, you're kicked out. Right? At the age of 60, what happens to you? Whoever you may be, in whatever position, right? Of course, nowadays they have worked around the situation also. They bring in the same person back as a consultant and make him work till he's 70, till he's 75, till he's 80. You know, sometimes even 85 years, we find people who are attending their office. You know, So it's an unending story. And when is the situation when you can really take a break? So throughout your life, you are just struggling somehow or the other to maintain yourself, to maintain your prestige in society. Until we come to meet a bona fide spiritual master, right, who explains to us what is the goal of life. Like in the 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada says, what is actually knowledge? This particular shloka where the Lord explains that there are 20 items and all these items emanate from me, which is knowledge, austerities, intelligence. And in that, Srila Prabhupada comments as to what exactly is knowledge. What is true knowledge? True knowledge is understanding the difference between matter and spirit. Very simple. Just in one line, Srila Prabhupada has summarized the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness. What is true knowledge? True knowledge is not biology, it's not geography, it's not history, it's not economics, it's not knowing how to read the balance sheets of companies and, you know, trying to manipulate the stock markets in order to be able to make more money. This is not knowledge. Knowledge means understanding what is the distinction between matter and spirit. And that person who has actually understood this has to be considered to be a man who has actually gained knowledge. So after going through millions and millions of lifetimes trying to gain knowledge in different varieties of life through different species, even as animals actually we are gaining knowledge on how to survive out in the forest. Right? If you are a tiger, what is your focus? Your focus is somehow or the other to get the deer. Right? Or to get the rabbit or whatever. There's only one singular focus that is there in the mind of an animal. How do I get my next meal? Right? That's all they are focused about. And somehow or the other, they want to try their level best to be able to get this knowledge to such an extent that they are able to get the best meal in the whole forest. Right? So even as an animal, we are trying our level best to acquire knowledge by which we can be the best. And the same thing carries on from one species of life to another, right up to the human form of life. And in this human form of life, all that we are doing is trying to be the best man among all the humans. Everybody wants to be the president of the United States of America. Right? Because that is the supreme position that one could aspire for in this material world. Right? Not so much nowadays. One doesn't really want to be the president of the United States of America because it's not doing so well as it used to. Maybe becoming the prime minister of India or China would be more better nowadays. Because those are the two countries which are considered to be progressive economically. But nevertheless, the fact is that every person in every sphere of life tries his level best to be somehow or the other the best individual in his sphere of operations. Little realizing that in his endeavor to try and somehow or the other achieve this final destination, this final goal in his life to be a person who has the maximum amount of powers, he doesn't realize what is the situation that he is actually in. How dangerous the situation is. Like Gajendra. Now actually if you go to see the situation that Gajendra was in, it's far, far superior to what anyone in this material world today is actually in. Although he was an elephant, he was staying in a place which was actually the heavenly planets. The Trikuta Mountains, the description, what we see in the first chapter of this 8th canto, the whole environment, the whole ambience of this place where Gajendra and his family were staying was so beautiful, so magnificent in terms of the weather, perfect weather, 24 degrees centigrade. It was never too cold, never too hot. Never rained too much, never snowed. Beautiful lakes filled with crystal clear water, unpolluted. Where would we see such a lake in this world today? Unpolluted. Impossible. But here was this Trikuta mountain, and this mountain was 10,000 yojanas high. That's 80,000 miles in height. And Gajendra was the king of the elephants. He was not just an ordinary elephant. He was the king of the elephants. And he had his own whole entourage. His wife, several wives, children, brothers, sisters. So in one sense, the place where Gajendra was staying and where he was actually the king, not just of the elephants, he was actually the king of the whole jungle, because as when Gajendra would walk in the forest path, lions and tigers would just run away, helter and skelter. This was the power of Gajendra. He was a magnificent elephant, huge, not like the elephants that we see nowadays. Now this Gajendra must have been really a gigantic elephant. And was absolutely enjoying himself. Wherever he would go, he would be respected. He would be welcomed. Maybe out of fear, but definitely welcomed. And he would get the choicest water to drink. He would be the first to enter into the lake and drink the water. And then after that, everybody would get his Mahaprasadam. And then he would drink the water, and then he would go into the water and refresh himself. So he was a very proud elephant. Because the nature of this world is that we have some opulences, we become proud. Just like a pauper, it's said that a pauper is proud of his penny. So even though a poor person out in the street, nowadays if you offer a beggar 5 paise, you know that 5 paise don't exist anymore. Even if you give him 25 paise or 50 paise, yeah, more often than not, he may just throw it back at you. Saying that, you know, this is below my dignity to be accepting this. 5 rupees is the minimum that beggars ask for nowadays. You go in the traffic signal, and then the car stops, and then the beggars come to you. Saab, 5 rupiah. 5 rupees. Can you believe it? Inflation has gone to such an extent that even the beggars are clamoring for 5 rupees minimum. You give them a rupee, you know, mostly they may take it, but sometimes they may even refuse to take that. So Gajendra was really completely in his element, enjoying to his maximum, and much in a much better situation than what any of us are here today. Because in Kali Yuga, now Gajendra fought with his elephant for 1,000 years. Right? In Kali Yuga, a human being with all his facilities and all his comforts and all his abilities to be able to take care of his health, how long does he live? 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. Nowadays people are dying of heart attacks at 50, 40. You hear of people who die of heart attack at the age of 30 nowadays. Life has become so unpredictable. But Gajendra was living for a very long lifespan. So he had practically all the opulences that a person could ever want. Yeah, he had huge size. He had relatively intelligent for an elephant. He was the king of the elephants. So all the opulences that a person could possibly want was with Gajendra. And naturally he was very proud and very happy wherever he was. But even in the heavenly planets, there is trouble. Right? So although Gajendra was in all sense enjoying, all of a sudden, out of the blue, when he was enjoying himself in the lake, a crocodile comes and bites his leg. So this is the dangerous situation that each of us are in. when we are actually thinking that we are enjoying ourselves to the maximum, everything is going on very, very wonderful in our lives. Things couldn't be better. I'm having a comfortable bank balance. I'm having a nice wife to look after me. I'm having a nice son, nice children, nice job. I couldn't ever be aspiring for anything better in my life. I have everything. I have done it. I have achieved what I've set out to do. And for sure, all of a sudden, one day, you will have a crocodile coming and eating into your leg before you realize it. So this is the Krishna consciousness philosophy, that this material world is a place of danger. It's a place of misery. And we have to be 100% convinced, then only we'll be able to actually make advancement in our spiritual life. When we are convinced that this place is a place of misery, this is a dangerous place for us to be living in. There's absolutely no assurance what could happen to us tomorrow. At that point of time, our spiritual life begins. At that point of time, we are able to be beginning to be detached from this body. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport that a devotee is not concerned about all those dangerous situations. When we become a devotee of the Lord, we actually understand that the dangerous situations that come into our lives are coming by the mercy of the Lord. Because when we become a devotee of the Lord takes over our whole life. We are no longer subject to the law of karma when we surrender to the Lord. And then whatever difficulties come into our life are by the arrangement of the Lord himself in order to make us further advance in our spiritual life. So that's the difference between a materialistic person who undergoes so many tribulations in his life. He doesn't understand, why am I suffering? Why are bad things happening to me? I'm basically a good man. I'm such a nice person. I do so much of charitable work. I help the poor. I help the needy. You know, I'm basically, I don't harm anybody. You know, my whole life has been spent by being a good person, basically. But why do bad things happen to me? Why am I suffering like this? Why am I so miserable? A materialistic person does not understand because he doesn't have any understanding of the philosophy. But a devotee, when he goes through all this tribulation in his life, and tribulations will come even to a devotee. It's not that when we take up to this process of Krishna consciousness, everything will become nice and hunky-dory, as they say. It's not going to happen that way. On the contrary, as a devotee, you would be really tested by Krishna. A devotee is a person who is really tested by Krishna to find out how sincere is he in his Krishna consciousness. A materialistic person is affected by his karma and then he enjoys and suffers as per the results of his past karma. But a devotee is really tested by Krishna to find out what is the level of his sincerity. Before Krishna wants us to take us back home, back to Godhead, he really puts us through an acid test, or maybe several acid tests. And what is the consciousness? What is our consciousness at the time when we are undergoing the test? That is what Lord Krishna sees. Like Vrajbihari Prabhu was explaining a few days back, how Srila Prabhupada went through so many tribulations in his life. One after another. Now here is a pure devotee of the Lord, Paramhams Mahabhagwat, who is absolutely surrendered to Lord Krishna. One would have thought that Lord Krishna would be helping him in so many different ways in order to promote Krishna consciousness, because that is what he was doing. He was basically preaching and he was trying to create facilities, more and more facilities to preach. Everything that Srila Prabhupada did was only to enhance his preaching mission. But situation after situation after situation, whatever Srila Prabhupada did in order to try and get money to be able to use in the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, each and every endeavor of his was failing. And finally, his last venture, when the servants just ran away with his money, they ransacked the place and ran away with his money, Srila Prabhupada just laughed. And then he said this famous shloka, Yasyaha Manugranami Harishe Tadanam Janai. This is the mood of a devotee. A devotee feels that this is really special mercy of the Lord upon me. Because it is said that when the Lord has mercy upon you, he gives you what you want. But when he has special mercy upon you, he takes away whatever you have. Right. So a devotee, even though he may be put into difficult situations, he accepts this as the will of the Lord and says, yes, no problem. And of course, none of us have to be afraid, because the Lord only puts us in that difficult a situation as we can tolerate according to the level of our consciousness. So this is the mercy of the Lord upon us. The Lord is really merciful to his devotees. He is not going to put his devotees into a situation that they cannot handle. Right? Because the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteha pratijanehi name bhaktya pranashyati. Nothing will ever happen to my devotee. So which means automatically that the Lord is going to put situations in our life only to the extent that we can handle. So that is a faith. So when we are put into situations like this, we realize, yes, this is the mercy of the Lord upon us. The Lord has given us this mercy, special mercy, only for my purification, so that I can make more advancement in my Krishna consciousness. And of course, at the level of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada could say this shloka with great conviction, Yasyaham anugranami harishe taddanam janai. The Lord is, or tattenu kampam sushamikshamano. Srila Prabhupada in this purport, when he writes it over here, when he says it, obviously he is saying with tremendous conviction, because he is a fully surrendered devotee of the Lord. We are not at the level of Srila Prabhupada. But we have this faith and we have this assurance from the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord will protect his devotee. So we need not be depressed. We need not be hypochondriac, or we need not be become a psychiatric patient, always worrying, what will happen to me? Will really I be put under such tribulation like Gajendra? Thousand years having this battle going on with this crocodile. Will I be also put in such a situation of great pain, great tribulation? Now Gajendra was almost ready to go home back to Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead comes right in front of Gajendra. So obviously, all his past lifetimes, millions and millions of lifetimes, obviously, that Gajendra had, including the earlier one as a king, King Indradyumna, right, where he was a very pious king. He was a very, very saintly person. And for no fault of his, he was actually cursed to become an elephant. Absolutely no fault from a material point of view, but it's all the Lord's arrangement in order to finally take him back home, back to Godhead. Every pastime that is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to understand that when Shukadeva Maharaj is speaking to Parikshit, it's meant to give us a particular lesson. And Gajendra, in this body of an elephant, for 1,000 years the Lord never came in front of him. And actually he never remembered the Lord also. Only when his condition became so desperate that he reached out to the Lord and the Lord came to him. So that should actually be our prayers. When we come before the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what should be the prayer that should be deepest in our heart? His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj was giving a class in Mayapur and he was saying, that a devotee, when he comes before the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he comes before the Archavigra of the Lord, what does he pray? What should he pray? He should pray that, my dear Lord, when I am in the greatest difficulty, let me remember you. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. Yatra yati samadbhava yati nati yatra samshaya. When we remember the Supreme Personality of God at the time of death, we will go home back to Godhead. This is the Lord's words in the Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajata antakalevaram. Tam tam evaiti kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. And whatever we think of at the time of death, that body we will attain in our next life. So this is the benediction that is given to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can try and remember the Lord under all circumstances. And finally, our prayers to the Lord should always be that whenever I am in difficulty, my dear Lord, when the greatest moment of calamity comes into my life, at that time I should remember you. I remember our beloved godbrother, Trivikram Prabhu. We had gone to see him in the hospital. And just a couple of days before he actually became very serious, I had gone there and I was in the ICU and I was talking to him. And he was conscious. He was perfectly conscious. His body. And this is another benediction of the Lord. For a devotee, he will ensure that a mind is so clear that we are able to remember him. What happens to our body? In any case, it is going to fall apart. It's going to be degenerating. It is degenerating every moment, actually. Yeah. But Trivikram Prabhu's mind was so clear. He was absolutely focused. And I was asking him, you know, have you finished your rounds? And he said, I've not chanted my rounds today. He was so clear in his mind that today, he has been chanting for the last 20 years. Right? But today, I have not chanted my rounds. So I asked him, did you chant your rounds yesterday? He said, yes, I chanted my rounds yesterday. So I told him, don't worry, you'll recover. And then after that, you can make up for all your lost rounds. And later on, when Trivikram Prabhu's condition became quite serious, then our Govind Prabhu and so many devotees came before Trivikram Prabhu and we started narrating so many pastimes to him. Pastimes of the Lord. Because the final condition of our life when we are actually leaving our bodies, what is it that we require the most? We require to be reminded of Krishna. So when devotees come and see us at the time when we are leaving our bodies, most of our relatives, they'll come and ask us, how are you? How are you feeling? And is it hurting you? Or is there some pain? Or, you know, are you comfortable? But when a devotee comes and meets you, he is not going to be asking you all these questions. Because these questions are completely irrelevant. How are you feeling? Are you comfortable? You know, are you being given your prasadam on time? You know, are you taking your medicines on time? And because for a person who is leaving his body, what is the use of asking all these questions? That is the time when we have to be actually giving him Krishna Katha. That is the time you go to him and tell him about the pastimes of the Lord. Tell him stories of the Bhagavatam. Tell him stories of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Read out the Srimad Bhagavatam to him. Because that is what he needs the most at that particular point of time. He doesn't need your mundane visits. He doesn't need your compassion. From a material point of view, what he actually needs is compassion from a spiritual point of view. You have to discuss with him Krishna Katha. You have to make his consciousness so much fixed on the Lord. That is our duty. And if we are genuine well-wishers of our God brothers, if we are genuinely caring for them, this is what we will do when we go to them at the time of when they're leaving their bodies. And this is also what we should, every one of us should expect. Each and every one of us should be praying to the Lord that, my dear Lord, please allow me to leave my body in the association of devotees. This should be the prayer that we should be making every day before the Lord. Let me never ever leave the association of devotees. Because you don't know when death is going to come to you. Can any of us say when death is going to come to us? At that time I will come to the temple and be in the association of devotees? No. Death can come at any moment. I could be sitting over here and this fan could fall on my head and it's over. But because we are all participating in hearing Krishna Katha, I may go home back to Godhead. So when Trivikram Prabhu was leaving his body, devotees went and chanted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in his ears, gave him Krishna Katha, and he was so happy. He was so happy. And devotees were extending themselves. So many devotees were taking time off from their busy schedules to go and spend time with him. Right? This is what Krishna consciousness is all about. If at the time of death, our God brothers do not come to our help, then what's the use of having lived a life in so-called Krishna consciousness? That is the reason why we have to ensure that our relationship with our God brothers is so nice and so affectionate and so loving that when you're leaving your body, they'll be remembering you and they will try their level best to help you to leave your body in a Krishna conscious way. If you do not have that loving relationship with them, they'll still pray for you, because Vaishnavas are very compassionate. But still, you will not have that opportunity of reciprocating with the devotees in a very loving way at the time when you are leaving your body. You will not have the satisfaction of having your God brothers with you at the time when you are leaving your body. Right? So Krishna consciousness is all about forging such deep relationships among the Vaishnavas that at the time when we are in the most dangerous situation, like Gajendra. Now Gajendra, because of his previous past life, pious life as Indradyumna Maharaj, he actually didn't have any God brothers or God sisters coming and reminding him about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of his past life, he remembered Krishna. Right? But we need the association of devotees. We need the association of devotees desperately. As Srila Prabhupada would say, if anybody thinks that we can make advancement in Krishna consciousness without the association of devotees, then we are in illusion. Now, these are very powerful words Srila Prabhupada has used just to emphasize to us how important association of devotees is. Whatever we may do in our personal sadhana, whatever services we may do, and however great a manager you might be, ultimately, if you are not having nice, loving relationship with the Vaishnavas, Shrama Hevahi Kevalam. It's all a big waste of time. So the goal for each and every one of us should be that I will somehow or the other cement my relationship with my God brothers and God sisters in such a way that I will be helpful to them when they leave their bodies, and they will be helpful to us when we leave our bodies. Because that is what we are all doing over here. We are preparing for death. Just like Parikshit Maharaj prepared for 7 days for death, maybe we are preparing for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. But that is what we are doing. The ultimate analysis, the process of Krishna consciousness actually prepares us for death. Right? All the brahmacharis who have sacrificed their beautiful careers, huge abilities to earn money, name, fame, glory, prestige, wearing saffron, dark saffron clothes, staying over here in this very, very difficult condition. Of Radha Gopinath temple, of course, it's Vaikuntha. But at the same time, you know, so many devotees staying very close proximity to each other. Why? Why are they extending themselves like this? Because they realize that this life, let me prepare for death. in such a way that at the time when I die, I remember Krishna and go home back to Godhead. It's a small sacrifice to make, just 30, 40 years of your life. And they're willing to make such a big sacrifice from a material point of view. Their relatives are not able to understand, their parents are not able to understand, society is not able to understand, why are they wearing this garb clothes of a sadhu at such a young age? You know, we see effulgent brahmacharis, 30, 35, some of them 25 years of age. They still have 50 more years of their life to go. So for a materialistic person who comes from outside into our temple, he's not able to understand. He's completely bewildered. How can a person sacrifice their life like this? Is it because they are lazy? Is it because they don't get a job? No. These are people who have left fantastic careers, earning huge amounts of money, highly qualified from the premier institutes of India, MBAs and IITians and engineers and chartered accountants and doctors. They're making the sacrifice. And from a material point of view, they really don't have anything to look forward to. They have given up everything. And yet their goal is glorious. What they are trying to achieve is the perfection of life. It's what each and every one of us is hankering for. This is what should be the goal of each and every one of us. To somehow or the other remain in the association of devotees, come what may, come whatever, under whatever circumstances. Like His Grace Sri Nandanandan Prabhu was saying that day, the three mantras, if we remember them, then we'll go home back to Godhead. He just said, remember these three mantras. One is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The second mantra is Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. And the third mantra is the most important mantra, never give up. Never give up. Just three words. So dangerous situations and difficulties will come into our lives. For sure. The Lord says, this is Dukalyam Ashashvatam. He says, Matras Parshastu Kaunteya Sitoshna Sukha Dukkada Agamam Paino Nityastamti Tikshaswa Bharata. Just like the summer and the winter season, we are going to have happiness and distress coming into our lives for sure. So this is the inevitable law of nature. None of us can escape whether we are a devotee or not. So difficulties will come into our lives. The question is, are we going to remain Krishna conscious at that point of time? That is the only question that we have to ask ourselves. That is the only question. Will I be a devotee when difficulties will come into my life? That's a test. And we need our God brothers to help us to get over such tests in our life. That is why we need the association of devotees desperately. Because the time when you require them the most, they will be there. If you are having nice, loving relationships with them, they will be there. If you are not having nice relationship with them, well, thank you very much. I exceeded the time. Sorry. I spoke beyond my realization. Please forgive me. So we won't take any questions. It's already 9:20. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai. Srila Prabhupada ki chai. Gaura Bhaktavind ki chai.